Matt Snyder joining us. He is the expert on baseball for CBSSports.com. Matt, help talk me off the ledge. Do we have enough in the Giants pitching staff to just tread water until Bumgarner gets back in June?
I don't think I can do that in good conscience. I saw Chris just tweet me and say, you can't wait for me to tell you that the Giants are toast. That's pretty true, actually. I mean, coming into the season, as you well know, the one big concern for the Giants was rotation depth, mm-hmm. and that they couldn't afford any injuries to anybody important. You needed a bounce back out of Johnny Cueto. You needed somebody like Ty Block or Chris Stratton to solidify the 4-5 spots, but now you're without Bumgarner. And, I mean, man, I'm sorry, but 4 weeks with the pins in before you get him out, then you get to kind of rehab your hand to the point where you can throw a ball, then you get to work your arm back into game action. I mean, it's hard for me to see him back before the All-Star break. Then you have Samardzija out as well. You don't know how long he's out until then. I mean, Ty Block, opening day starter. Again, Cueto coming off the worst year of his career. Hey, I like the offensive additions of Longoria.
So did I.
And then Jackson. I like the bolstering of the bullpen with Watson. I figured Melanson probably was going to bounce back, but if there was one thing they could not afford, it was Madison Bumgarner getting hurt.
And, of course, he was looking pretty good in spring, too, and it was the last spring game. You know, I'm really surprised that people don't get hurt on the pitching mound with balls either hit into the face or the arm. I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often.
I mean, it is going to continue to happen more and more often. As guys continue to get stronger and Major League Baseball won't say the balls are juiced. They just continue to say, well, they're within specifications, but the balls are juiced. And guys are as strong as they've ever been. Luckily, there's a lot more emphasis on launch angle now, so guys are trying to hit it in the air, but you're still going to get your fair share of line drives right back at the pitchers. They've got to be ready to try to field their position, but there's only so much you can do when a ball's coming at you 110 miles per hour and you're 60 feet away. So it's just kind of it's an occupational hazard. It's unfortunate. You hate seeing guys go down, especially as they're so important. But, again, it's kind of part of the game.
Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com baseball writer here on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket. Matt, a little bit of background on this show. Like, I started doing this show with Bob in, 2014? So ever since then, my Phillies have been pretty bad, and I've had to put up with his Giants being within, you know, playoff contention, World Series contention while I've been on the show, and my Phillies has been at the bottom of the NL East. Is this the year where I can start to have the superior baseball team on this show? Are the Phillies, could they be better than the Giants this year?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
As far as contention, this is probably like the year before the year, where you start to get really excited. Like, as you guys know, I believe I'm a Cubs fan. I would say that this Phillies season might be more like the Cubs' last 2 months in 2014, right before the big breakout in 2015, because you still got to see, okay, what's Kingery going to do when he comes up to the bigs? What's J.P. Crawford got? Is Michael Franco ever going to revert back to rookie form? Is Reese Hoskins for real, which I think he is? Is Aaron Nola going to take the next step to become a frontline pitcher alongside Jake Arrieta? There's just and then they got to figure out the rest of the rotation. Like, is Velasquez going to be able to stick as a starter and get that command back to when he was a stud from the start of the season a couple of years ago? You just have so many of those questions, but a lot of them I think are going to get answered in the positive. So I think you're going to be a really fun team for Phillies fans. And instead of really contending this year, it's going to be more of one of those kind of hope-building seasons where you start to look forward to 2019.
All right, so who are going to be the teams that may be the contenders that you don't quite expect? You expect the Astros to have a chance maybe to repeat. You expect the Yankees to win the American League East with the addition of Stanton. But where are some of the teams right now that are off the radar that we might want to look to that could contend for a division championship or even get to the World Series?
I don't think division for either one of those teams, but my sleeper in the NL was the Phillies. I said that in my power rankings that came out today. And my sleeper in the American League is the A's. They just have so much power in that offense, and they have some talented young arms now that the arms need to come around. But they feel like they could kind of do one of those Billy Beane things, like the first year they had Cespedes, when everybody thought they were going to be in last place, and then they ended up winning the division, and they were hot fire for the last 3 months of the season. I don't think they're going to be that good. But I think they're going to be a team that can get up into the low, maybe mid-80s and wins, and that might be good enough for a wild card. And another one I had my eye on was the Reds. I really like their offense, how it's coming around. I love the back end of the bullpen with Iglesias and if Lorenzen comes back from his injury quickly. But now Disclafani and Finnegan are both hurt, and they're supposed to be toward the top of the rotation. They both missed all of last season. So now I'm like, I've kind of fallen back on them a bit just because it's kind of a reminder like, oh, hey, by the way, they are incredibly injury prone in the rotation. But behind Luis Castillo, they have enough pieces in that rotation that if Disclafani and Finnegan come back and stay healthy, they could kind of be another like upstart, sneaky kind of contender, kind of like maybe the Brewers were last year. Not necessarily a playoff team, but a team that can kind of push some of the powers.
Matt Snyder, CBS on Twitter. It's at Matt Snyder with a Y, CBS. Joining us here on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Now, the free agency cycle is, you know, all settled down pretty much to this point. Now, it took a while for it all to be at this point where it's all settled. Now that it is all in the past, what do you take from this free agent cycle? What did you learn from it?
They need to fix the system to pay guys earlier in their careers. Otherwise, the owners clamping down now, it's just not going to work. They're making record profits, and that if they're going to start scaling back payroll, that's just owners pocketing and not paying the talent, and that to me is unacceptable. It's funny because I've said this several times this offseason. Albert Pujols, by the end of his career, will have made the right amount of money. It was just disproportionately spread to where he was incredibly overpaid for the Angels, and he was incredibly underpaid for the Cardinals. And it used to, as long as they kept doing that, with guys once they hit free agency, everything just worked out in the end and everybody was okay. You know, if you're looking at Carlos Correa making $550,000 last year, you could say, well, you're paying your dues. You're going to hit it big once you get to free agency. Well, now if they're going to start scaling back the free agent contracts, it makes it that much more egregious when somebody like Correa is not making that. Or Chris Bryant, his MVP year, made just $1 million. And we say just, I know that's a lot of money to us, but he was worth probably $30 million to the Cubs in 2016, at least. And he made only around $1 million, but you kind of take it and pay your dues because once Bryant gets the free agency, there comes $300 million. But again, if they're going to start scaling that back, they need to start balancing it and make it a better meritocracy to where players are paid what they're worth when they're worth it.
Well, how would that happen? Like, whose responsibility is that? Because the Players Association, like, they're going to look out more for the older players, if anything. Like, who's going to represent the up-and-comers in that way?
It's one idea I heard was restricted free agency after 3 years, which, for example, Bryant would have come up this year. And so maybe somebody can offer Bryant 10 years and $300 million or something, and then the Cubs have a chance to match that, which they would. But the problem there is they're small market teams now. One of the great things about the system before, when the owners were just overpaying the veterans and it made up for the younger years, one of the great things about the system was teams could keep their young talent for 6 or 7 years. If you lowered it to 3 and had restricted free agency, now the little guys are all going to get shut out. So I don't have a great answer there. I like the restricted free agent idea, but then you worry about some of the small market teams getting screwed over. So there's stuff to discuss, and they've got to find a way to figure it out. Maybe this was an anomaly. Maybe a lot of teams wanting to reset the luxury tax, like the Dodgers and Yankees next year with Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, Clayton Kershaw hitting free agency. Maybe everybody starts getting paid huge again, and this was just an anomaly. Let's hope that's the case.
We going to see any of these big name guys that are free agents switch teams at the trade deadline?
Machado very well might. I don't see any way that the Orioles are going to keep him. Everybody thinks the Yankees are going to sign him. I mean, maybe Andujar or Gleyber Torres blow up and make it a kind of a cost the Yankees don't need, but it seems like he's such a good fit for the Yankees. And other teams will be in on him, too. Like, the Phillies might be in on him, depending on what happens with Franco and or Kingery this year. You never know, but the Phillies probably are more for Bryce Harper. Harper, the Nationals will be contenders. They're not going to trade him. Kershaw, there's no way in the world the Dodgers will ever trade him. But I do think Machado could go somewhere, and it would be interesting if, say, the Indians jumped at it or something and traded Kipnis and reconfigured put Jose Ramirez at second. Maybe if they did something like that, that would be kind of fun.
Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com baseball writer. Other than, I think, Giancarlo Stanton with the Yankees being a player that'll have a lot of eyeballs on him, Ohtani on the Angels, I thought would be the player who'd have a lot of eyeballs on him, but the spring has not been good for him whatsoever. So what do you do with that situation?
Give him a chance to settle in here. I mean, I'm almost preemptively annoyed already about if he has a bad start, all the hot takes about how he's going to be a bust. I 23 years old. He's never played anywhere outside Japan. They only have one time zone there. He's going to be traveling across the country in all different time zones, having to adjust to this, in addition to adjusting to a completely different culture, playing with a bunch of guys he's never met before. That's a tough situation to put anybody in, much less a 23-year-old who is trying to be a pitcher and a hitter, which nobody else is trying to do. So I think we've got to be patient with this kid. I would probably expect he would have at least a bad first couple months before he kind of gets settled in and gets his feet beneath him. But yeah, he's going to probably be bad, and we're going to see a lot of overreactions here in the first few weeks. Do keep an eye on Kingery from the Phillies, but also Ronald Acuna with the Braves. They sent him down, but I think that was more like a Cubs sending Bryant down situation, where Acuna is going to come up pretty quickly. And also Nick Senzel with the Reds. I don't think he's that far away either. Those are some other good young studs to watch, along with Ohtani.
So we fast forward to October. Who are going to say be the final four teams left, and who's eventually going to win?
Well, there's a big seven. Yankees, Red Sox, Indians, Astros, Nationals, Cubs, Dodgers. I think it's pretty obvious to me that those are seven powerhouses. Anything can happen in October, but the smart money's picking two teams from that group. I want Cubs over Yankees. I think the Cubs are incredibly underrated heading into this year. If you look at how bad they were in the first half last year, but then they settled in the second half, how much better they are. And they had so many guys have down years who you expect to bounce back. Yu Darvish is better than Jake Arrieta. Tyler Chatwood was better than John Lackey. So I think a lot of people are even though they're picking them to win the Central, a lot of people are more just picking them like, oh, well, they're the best team there again, and then just forgetting about them in the playoffs. They're a power. I think the Dodgers do take a little bit of a step back, but hey, that's how good they were last year. Astros definitely could be there again. Like I said, pick any one of those teams from that seven to win it all, and pick any one of the other teams from the other league to win the pennant. And I think you're in good shape right there.
Hashtag Homer. Homer, you're picking the Cubs. That's your squad right there.
I didn't pick them last year, but I got them right in 2016, so I'm 1-for-1 so far. So maybe I'll be 2-for-2.
If we're going to eliminate the seven, if there's one team that's not in the seven, where would you go?
Man, that's tough. I mean, I had the Cardinals at 8th in the power rankings, but I don't have any confidence in them to advance far in the postseason. Maybe with the Blue Jays, if they got their rotation settled. Angels, like, if Garrett Richards stays healthy the whole season and Ohtani actually starts to pitch well, and you get something from like Tyler Skaggs and Andrew Heaney, you could see that for being a very good playoff rotation. Blake Parker at the back end there with Cam Bedrosian could be a good 1-2 punch out of the bullpen, and their offense is way better. A full season of Justin Upton, hopefully a full season for Mike Trout. Now you added Zach Cozart, Ian Kinsler. I think I'll go with the Angels on that one. If it's somebody outside the seven, I'll go with the Angels.
Thanks. We always appreciate it, Matt. Great talking. I just wish you had better words for me.
I'm sorry, man. I didn't want to lie.